This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you could email the show whatever you want, your love, your hate, your death threats. Email those in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, before I get to this Fauci article, and there's a few things I want to go over here, I do have to address a controversy from last night. This email sums it up nicely. Did the Oracle have a Biden moment or an on-air stroke? I said last night, I said those three magical words, and then I proceeded to say, you voted for this. That's four words, but here's the problem. You're hearing it wrong, all right? I said sometimes, look, I have a little bit of a different accent. And not only that, you understand how bilingual I am. So sometimes I will transition from English to Spanish mid-sentence, because that's just kind of how my mind works. Sometimes I'll be talking and sometimes I'll just start hablando, and then vice versa. You think you heard me say those three magical words, but I think if you go back and listen to the podcast that Chris is absolutely not edited, that it says four magical words. Four words is what I said, all right? That's what I said. I don't know what you're talking about. The Oracle would never make a mistake like that. Honestly, you think my community college didn't teach me better than that? Get serious. All right, back to this article. New York Times, Fauci sits down. Before I even go into it, Listen to this. Can you hear this? Do you hear this? It probably is not having the desired effect, which kind of sucks because it's radio. But this thing, Michael printed this out for me. This thing is like 20 pages long. The New York Times will do this all the time. These writers, the thing about writers is, and I'm not against writing. I like writing. Writing is important. Writing is what history will know about your society. But writers are some of the most self-important people in the world. Well, let me sit down and pen a 10,000-word article for the New York Times. Nobody's reading that. Your own mother doesn't want to sit down and read 10,000 words that you wrote. This is so many words. Anyway, the guy sits down and he interviews Fauci, and I just thought there were a couple tidbits in there as I went through it this morning that stood out to me. The guy asks him about America and how we did, and Fauci says, something clearly went wrong, and I don't know exactly what it was, but the reason we know it went wrong is that we are the richest country in the world, and on a per capita basis, we've done worse than virtually all other countries. There's no reason a rich country like ours has to have 1.1 million deaths. Unacceptable. Okay. So let's deal with this first. Let's begin in the back. Let's begin at the end. Like the transportation secretary. 1.1 million deaths. We don't have 1.1 million COVID deaths. We don't have anything close to 1.1 million COVID deaths. What we have is an incredibly corrupt nation, and as much as this pains me to admit it, a more corrupt nation than the quasi-socialist European nations you and I have made fun of for years. We discovered this during COVID. You see, during COVID, Donald Trump was president, and the system didn't want him to be president anymore, so the system wanted COVID to be as bad as humanly possible. So the system decided to flat out bribe people to claim every death as a COVID death. Do you remember? I actually believe it was the New York Times. I think it was the New York Times who published a list of COVID deaths at some point during the thing. I think it was early on. And of course, people started researching it. And it was something like the second or third guy down the list died in a car wreck. They just were classifying everything as a COVID death. Why? Because the system was trying to purge the Trump virus that it wanted gone, and they knew the worse COVID was, the better chances they'd have at bouncing Donald Trump from office. And so to this day, because of the alternate reality they created, you will have people who regularly say, we have 1 million people died from COVID. 1.1 million died from COVID. That's not even close to true. COVID isn't even close to being as deadly as the flu. Do you realize that? That we have all the numbers now, real, actual data. That's just not my opinion. That's number-wise. It's not in the same league as the seasonal flu. Not in the same league. I'm not saying COVID isn't deadly. You can die from it. Maybe you know someone who died from it, especially if you're super fat or you're old with a pre-existing condition. You're certainly susceptible to a lung virus. I'm not saying it's nothing, but it didn't kill 1.1 million people. So again, they throw out numbers as if they're facts, but they're numbers Fauci and all his friends lied about for a specific reason. That's number one. Two, we're the richest country in the world, and that's why we did worse, or we shouldn't have done worse. We're the fattest country in the world. And I know I should trust the science, right? I was lectured several times to trust the science and listen to the doctors. But people who could tell things very early on could tell that coronavirus was uniquely dangerous to fat people. That's why the media, when they were trying to puff it up and they were trying to act like it wasn't just these few people who were at risk, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was CNN. They ran some article. I think it was a 16-year-old. Chris, look this up. I bet you're right. I think it was 16-year-old. It was a 16-year-old either dies from COVID or he was in the emergency room from COVID. And of course, it was just a headline. There were no pictures. And that scared every suburban housewife in the country. Oh, my gosh, I don't want Aiden, Jaden, or Braden to die from COVID. And then someone did some digging. The 16-year-old was 350 pounds, morbidly obese. America is a very fat country. Part of that is because we're rich. Rich people get fat because rich people can get fat. We're a sedentary society, spend a lot of time on our phones, on computers, sitting down. Our diet is wretched with mass-produced food. And I'm not lecturing anybody. Look, I'm fast food Jesse. I'm not looking down my nose at anyone, but that's just a fact. We're fat people. So we died because fat people were uniquely at risk to coronavirus. And because we have one of the most corrupt nations on the planet, our scientific community, our medical community would never come out and say that. They had to constantly preach to the public over and over and over again that this virus is going to kill us all. You might die. Your child might die. Husband, wife might die. When really it was a small percentage of the population we could have and should have focused on who were uniquely vulnerable to this virus. A healthy 20-year-old, a healthy 16-year-old, a healthy 40-year-old, 50-year-old is not at danger from dying from coronavirus. And they never were. And we knew this very early on. Oh, you might get sick for a couple of days. I had it myself. You might lose taste or smell. Might lose that for a little while. That's certainly very common. You might even run a fever. Might even be bedridden for a day or two. But you were never going to die. But the system where it simply was not set up to actually give solutions. The system was not set up to actually speak to who was vulnerable and who wasn't vulnerable. The system was set up for a different purpose. The system's purpose was get Donald Trump out of office by making coronavirus look as deadly as possible, make him look completely incompetent, use the lockdowns Trump himself pushed to destroy the economy that was going to get Donald Trump reelected. That's what the system decided very early on. And that's why about 5 minutes after Joe Biden got elected, immediately everyone who was dogging on the therapeutic immediately started telling you you had to have it to save your life. As soon as it went from being Trump's to Biden's, it became this, you know, miracle serum that was going to save us all. It's why they started preaching already about how the COVID numbers are getting better and Joe Biden's leadership and your schools opening up. Because the system was designed, the system's purpose was not to save lives. In a corrupt late-stage republic, the system was trying to purge a virus that it viewed as a threat. And they were very successful. And I somehow only got through one of these questions, and I have two or three more I want to cover, so I'm going to continue doing that in a moment. And then we'll get to this sad story about a town I visited one time and some emails and stuff. That's okay. After we're done with this COVID stuff, my blood pressure is going to be about 200 over 150. I know that. You know that's what COVID stuff does to me. But I'm still going to sleep like a baby tonight. You know why I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight? It's not because I'm going to take anything to sleep. I actually can't take anything to sleep. If I do that, I will then sleep for like 16 hours and still wake up totally miserable. Chris has done that before. You should see him when he walks into work. He looks half dead. It's hilarious. I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight because I have Giza Dream Sheets. And right now, Giza Dream Sheets from MyPillow are their lowest price ever. They're of such high quality, they come with a 10-year warranty. Nobody warranties sheets for 10 years. MyPillow does, because MyPillow doesn't just throw things together. They take time for research. They make the best. Multiple colors, sizes, styles. But you can get Giza Dream Sheets as low as $29.98 right now. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show, and I can't believe we're doing this, but we're actually digging into this New York Times interview with Dr. Fauci. Because I think it's so revealing of the system, and it's so revealing of how these people think about us and how they view themselves, really. And I can't help but think about this really sharp, handsome, world-famous author on the radio whose book can be pre-ordered at jessekellybook.com. What, Chris? I can't help but think about this guy who always says that these people, they don't love the country, and they don't have any connection to us, to normal people, and, you know, they see themselves as kings and queens. I think about that when I read quotes like this from Fauci in the article. The divisiveness was palpable. Just trying to get in a coherent message across of following fundamental public health principles. I understand there will always be differences of opinion among people saying, well, what's the cost-benefit balance of restriction or of masks? But when you have fundamental arguments about things like whether to get vaccinated or not, that is extraordinary. Now, just pause on that for a moment. And again, remember, I don't care what you got or what you didn't get. A lot of people were forced to get it. There was a lot of propaganda. That's not what this is about. But think about this for a moment. Operation Warp Speed gets passed. And right away, we were screaming about it here on the Jesse Kelly Show. A massive handout to the pharmaceutical companies that also released them from liability. And lo and behold, boom, all of a sudden, a vaccine is ready. Now, keep in mind, the pharmaceutical companies who just had this handout from Trump waited until Trump lost the election to announce the availability of the vaccine. You remember that? Oh, I remember that. They did him wrong. Did him dirty. It was like 5 minutes after Trump lost the election, they came out and say, hey, good news. Operation Warp Speed was successful. We've got a vaccine. So vaccine rolls out, but it is new. The whole purpose of Operation Warp Speed was to, and I quote, fast track a vaccine. And so I, probably just like you, I wasn't against anything initially. I am simply a wait person on everything. You hear me do this with stories that are just breaking and this is coming out. I don't have some desire to be first at anything. I don't need to be the first one commenting on a story. I don't need to be the first one with a new phone or a new car. I don't need the fancy new shoes. I don't need new. I'm a fan of reliable. And so what I do, what I've always done with everything, is I wait. I don't run and get the new phone. I'm going to wait for a year or two. You work the bugs out. Get, you know, model 4 or 5 out there. Get it all updated. And then once it's good to go, I'll go get it. I don't want to go stand in line, pay top dollar for the brand new phone, only to have a million different bugs that I get to experience right off the bat. So when that came out, I wasn't anti anything. I was just wait. And then something interesting happened. I started getting pushed harder and harder to take it. Take it. Why don't you take it? You better take it. Take it or you're killing grandma. And that started to creep me out a little bit. It felt like that pressure, it didn't really feel like it was for my health at all. I couldn't help but shake this feeling that it was for other reasons other than my health or the health of society. And I'm still on the fence, keep in mind at this point in time, I'm still just watching and waiting. I'm creeped out, but I'm watching and waiting. And then you tried to make me take it. Then you told me, Joe Biden and his administration and the public health people, then you told me that I should be fired if I didn't take it. In fact, you told my employer to fire me if I didn't take it. And now I'll never take it. Now you've guaranteed I'll never take it. But initial resistance to taking something new, whatever it may be, a phone or what they're calling a vaccine or whatever, that's not ridiculous. That's pretty standard. People, before they put things in their body, on their body, they want to wait and they want to see how it works. No, I want you to test it. No, I want you to figure out how it works on these people. And I want you to test it in a lab. I want you to test it on rats. I want you to test it on monkeys. I want you to go figure out how this thing's going to work. And if you're not going to do that, if you're going to test it on people, which is what they did, don't expect me to be first in line. But listen to how these people think about themselves. But when you have fundamental arguments about things like whether or not to get vaccinated or not, that's extraordinary. For Fauci, that you would even dream of not following his advice and taking what he told you to take? For him? For these megalomaniacs who run our society now? That's beyond the pale. Why don't you understand who your king is, peasant? Who do you think you are? Thinking for yourself? The king demands you do as you're told. When the king tells you to line up for your 19th stroke shot, the king expects you to go get your stroke shot. And these peasants who think they have freedom whether or not to take it, just so distasteful for these people. Did you see why I dug into this article? It's so revealing of how these people see themselves. That I do have a little good news, a little good tidbit that came out of this, and then we're going to move on to other stuff. You ready for a little good tidbit? Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Is the Jesse Kelly Show, and we're going to wrap this thing up here. Well, this New York Times Fauci interview before I get to some emails and this sad news about a town that sucks now and other stuff. But to finish this up, Fauci did one little tidbit he did drop in the article. He said, I mean, only 68% of the country is vaccinated. If you rank us among both developed and developing countries, we do really poorly. We're not even in the top 10. Proud of you, America. That's what I'm talking about, baby. No, listen to me. Listen. That is the largest, most expensive propaganda campaign in the history of mankind. There has never been anything like it, ever. If you if you felt you had to or you did it because you were nervous or whatever, don't feel bad about that. It is what it is. Forget about that. Water under the bridge is gone. But if you resisted that, you should be proud of yourself. You really should. And even if you didn't, you should be proud of your country. That there still is, with all the problems we have in the country and all the craziness we have going on, there still is a pocket of America that loves freedom and does not like being told what to do. Because you know they've pulled this stuff 1,000 times. That was a big reason why many people didn't take it. You tried to make them. And Americans were all, I don't think I'm going to do that, actually. I don't think I'm going to do that. All right, let's get to some emails. Greetings, Mr. World Famous Author. Feels good being a world famous author. What, Chris? Chris, hear me out here. So the book comes out in June, right? Pre-order it today at jessekellybook.com. It's the Anti-Communist Manifesto, but it comes out in June. Now, obviously, we're joking about the world famous author thing because I've never written a book before, and I probably never will write another. I just had it on my heart to write this one. But picture this. Book tour. We're already doing a book tour. I will keep you posted. Don't email me. Don't email me and ask me where I'm going because I don't know yet. But I've been working on this for the past couple days with my team, figuring out where I'm going on the book tour. And the book tour will coincide with an affiliate tour because we love all the affiliates who carry the Jesse Kelly Show. Very honored. Affiliates can carry whoever they want. These guys run smart ships. They know what they're doing. So I don't know why they're carrying this show, but they can carry whatever they want. So affiliates that do, we definitely want to stop in and say hello and meet people in cities where people listen to the show live. So the book tour is going to be an affiliate / book tour, all right? I don't know where it is yet. We're developing a list and a plan for that. I have mixed emotions about one of the plans. One of the plans is a standard flight thing. So I'll fly into a city, do the show, and then a book signing thing the show, and then fly to another city the next day, something like that. There's also discussion now of possibly an RV road tour where I'm not driving it, of course, so I can sleep and stuff like that in the back, but just kind of cruising along. What, Chris? Would I have my face plastered on the side of it? Oh my gosh, of course. I'm not riding in it unless it has my face plastered in the side of it. I'm going to make that part of my, what is that those snobby rockers ask for when they ask for only green M&Ms? My rider. That's going to be on my ride. Chris, do I get a rider? I'm a super important celebrity. I want a rider. Who do I turn the rider into? I want to submit this. Let's submit my rider to corporate and see what they say. All right, shut up. Anyway, so there's going to be a book tour coming up, right? I don't know about the RV plan. I'm not sure about that just because I'm not a huge road trip person. I'm looking forward to getting out there and getting out of here and doing some travel. I just don't like the road trip part of this whole thing. It bothers me. It bothers me a great deal. Anyway, book comes out June 6th. There's going to be a book tour. And for you 10 million people who have asked, yes, there's going to be an audiobook version of it that you can pre-order. I know this because Chris and I are already working with the godforsaken freaking audiobook people to record it. And let me tell you what, you owe me. You owe me for this. No, you don't owe me. You don't anything, but it sucks. I was warned that it sucked, and it sucks. And here's why it sucks. It's my own book, so obviously I've read it. You think that you're just going to sit down and read a book. Oh, no. I have to come sit down in the studio. Chris has to be here because he's got to handle all the nerd stuff, technical stuff. Every single word has to be perfect. Everyone. So if there's an A or a the or an and I kind of gloss over that, I have to stop. They'll stop me and I have to restart the whole sentence again. Oh yeah. If there are Chinese names or any of these foreigner names that aren't American and I screw it up, I have to start the whole sentence again. So it'll be a chapter that will take, we just did it again on Saturday. I think it took us an hour and a half to try to get through one chapter of the book, but there is an audio book coming for all you truckers out there and everyone else. So there you go. Greetings, world famous author. I hope this message finds you well. You were right on the money when you suggested garlic bread with buffalo wings. Those two flavors go together amazingly well. If you have not tried, and he said, which I'm sure you have because you are the menu aficionado, may I suggest garlic buffalo wings? Couple places around me do them, and they're amazing. Throw in some garlic bread, and oh boy, now we're talking. Thanks for what you do, sir. I listen every night in the car, and I appreciate it. I have tried garlic buffalo wings. In fact, there's a place real close by here. They do the spicy garlic wings. Chris, why are you turning your nose up? It's garlic. What's wrong with... Okay, well, I just said spicy garlic. You said wings need heat. You can get spicy garlic. Spicy's right there in the name. Are you people even allowed to eat chicken wings? Are they kosher? Oh, I guess it is fried chicken. But what about the sauces? Is garlic kosher and buffalo sauce and stuff like that? It is? Well, why are you looking at me like that? I don't know all the Jewish rules. All right, anyway. So there's a story here about a town in North Carolina called Asheville. Everyone in North Carolina is listening to my voice, and they all just rolled their eyes because they all know about Asheville. But most of America doesn't know about Asheville. And when I was out of work, the wife and I, remember, we were in the minivan with the kids, and we're out of work, and we're driving across Red America. I'm just trying to find a job of any kind, trying to support a family so we can move somewhere we want to live. And we come across the town that I'd never heard of before, Asheville, North Carolina. This is... 10 years ago now. Gosh, dang, it's at least 10 years ago now. Yeah, about 10 years ago now. Anyway, about 10 years ago. And we pull into Asheville, North Carolina. And it was just the coolest place. Now, clearly kind of a hippie place. I'm sure Democrat, right? I'm sure it's been Democrat forever, which it has been Democrat forever. But a clean Democrat city and just looked like such a cool town. And we fell in love with it. So in love with it. Remember, I have no job, so we're draining our savings, that we booked a hotel and we stayed there for a week while I tried to find work with everyone I possibly could, just trying to find a job. That's how bad we wanted to move there and couldn't find anything. And I remember how sad we were the day we had to drive out of Asheville, North Carolina. We thought, that was the day. Plus, I've always been in love with North Carolina anyway. It's just the place I've loved since I was a child. I love it. We drove out of North Carolina and we never came back. I see this article today, foxnews.com. North Carolina tourist town rocked by violence in wake of defund the police movement rolls out a plan to combat the rising crime. And it was an article about Asheville. I hadn't been back since. And I remember the heartbreak of that day when we realized we weren't going to be able to move there. Apparently Asheville went all in on the Black Lives Matter filth. And I've been fielding emails all day since I said something about it. Asheville's a dump now. Homeless and crime. And man, people don't understand how beautiful the Blue Ridge Mountains are and how beautiful Asheville, North Carolina once was. There really is nothing these communists can't destroy. Nothing. Remember that when you're fortifying your red city. Also, let's save a life tonight. You save a life. I'll save a life. Let's save a life tonight. We're going to go to preborn.com/Jesse. We're going to bust these wallets out of our pockets, even though we don't want to because times are tight. I know that. I'm not insensitive to that. And we're going to pull out our credit card. And we're going to give $28 because that $28 goes to purchase an ultrasound for a very scared, very confused young lady, probably one who's being pressured by everyone in her life to go kill that baby. And she thinks it's a clump of cells because that's what society told her. And instead, she's going to lay down for that free ultrasound and she's going to hear that heartbeat and she's going to know she's a mom and she's going to choose life tonight. Preborn.com/Jesse. All right. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. And North Carolina, I have some good news for you. The bad news is, as you North Carolinians probably already know, Asheville's a disaster. That really sucks. Gosh, that sucks. But the good news is, you're going to have a good governor.
I got this email. Jesse, you said you wanted to get more involved with helping anti-communists this next election cycle. I can't think of a better candidate than Mark Robinson. Can you bring him on your show and help us get here in North Carolina, get his message out there, or help us here in North Carolina get his message out there? Well, I swear on my life, I had this booked before you wrote in this email. Mark Robinson's actually on my television show tonight to talk about his announcement of running for governor of North Carolina. He's been on there before. I love this guy. When he speaks, he makes me want to run through a brick wall. I think Team Trump and Team DeSantis should have already had this guy on the very, very, very short list to be a potential VP. And how often do you hear me get excited about a politician? I'm excited about this guy. Here's his thing. Mark Robinson. Remember this name. I know most of you aren't in North Carolina, but remember this name. You're going to be hearing a lot of Mark Robinson in the future. This guy's a star.
I'm the majority.
Mark Robinson, do you swear?
I do. I stand before you today as the first black lieutenant governor of North Carolina. If history teaches us anything, it's that Americans don't run from trouble. We run towards it. Now it's our time to stand up and make history. That's what I'm fighting for, and that's why I'm running for governor. Will you join me?
This is why I love the guy. He makes me want to run through a brick wall. We don't run from trouble. We run towards it. And every time I hear him talk like that, I'm like, yes, Mark, you tell me where to run, Mark. I'm here. I'm ready for you.
We're changing people's lives.
I'll do whatever you need. Mark, you know how excited I am about this? As soon as I heard about it last night, you know what I did? I stood up and went, what, Chris? It's fine. It's fine. You know what else I'm really excited about? I'm super excited about this. I'm really excited about not burying my dog before I have to. That's an exciting thing. Look, I talk about this a lot, but it is real. It is something we have to think about when it comes to our puppies. They die. Sucks. And they die sooner than they should. Because we don't give them the nutrition they need. We just don't. We think we do. We want to. It's not that you're neglectful or I'm neglectful. But all the dog food is dead. There's nothing alive in it. So because there's nothing alive in it, there's no nutrition in it. Our dogs live their entire lives without ever getting vitamins and minerals and omega oils and digestive enzymes and all the things you need, all the things I need. It's like we give our dogs a fast food their whole lives and they never touch fresh fruit. Give your dog some fresh fruit. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black created Rough Greens. You pour it on your dog's food. It's a nutritional supplement. It will keep your dog healthier and around longer. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse for a free jumpstart trial bag. All right? Roughgreens.com/Jesse. Or you can call. They have a number now. 833-33-MY-DOG. All right? All right. Now, before I get to headlines I didn't get to, I just can't with this. Who's that guy on the radio who's been screaming against remote work for the longest time? And I get all kinds of hate mail for it, and I totally understand that. If I had some cushy job, well, I do have a cushy job, but if I was out there listening to the Jesse Kelly Show and I was working from my jammies with a cup of coffee in my hands and I'm in my living room and I'm snuggling with my puppy after I just fed him some Rough Greens, I wouldn't want to go into the office anymore either. Going into the office sucks, but going into the office is... it's important. It is. Not for every field, of course, but for many fields, it's important. And who's been telling you, kids, who've been given the option, oh, you can work from home or you can come in. Who's been telling you, get up, shower, put your khakis on, fellas. Ladies, put on your little pretty pencil skirts or whatever you call them and get your butt into the office. Headline. Remote work hasn't been the best for my career. I was passed up twice for promotions, but it's been amazing for my personal life. Huh. Wow, that's really awesome. I'm happy you've built up some more Facebook fans and stuff like that. That's important. Instagram's probably doing well. I'm sure you've gotten a couple extra dates, but we're going into a recession, and you just got passed up for two promotions that could have helped maybe mitigate the inflation problems. Because you didn't want to get out of your jammies and go into the office. I know these are hard words to hear, but this is not your mommy's show. This is your daddy's show. get up and go into the office. It's important the boss sees you go into the office. It's important that he sees you care enough to be in the office. It's important that you are present in the office when the boss wants to knock off on Friday. Let's go to Applebee's and have a beer. Actually, we've had a great quarter. We're all going to Red Lobster. And everyone goes, yeah, I love Red Lobster. What, Chris? And everyone can go into Red Lobster. And it's important for you to sit down and have Cheddar Bay biscuits with your boss. And you know who doesn't get invited to Red Lobster on that Friday afternoon? The person at home in their jammies. And I know it's unfair and it shouldn't be this way, but that Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuit beer night is where promotions actually happen. Get up and go in the office.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Bud Light sales down 17% after the Dylan Mulvaney partnership. That is gigantic. It is drastic. And all I'm going to say to you is ignore the low-T GOP losers telling you to back off or they've had enough. Keep going. Keep going until the company is buried as a message to the rest of corporate America. Unprepared for a long war. U.S. Army under the gun, to make more ammo. Man, who was just on the radio a couple weeks ago? Who was that guy, Chris? Chris, I don't know why you're shaking your head. Who was the guy on the radio who was warning about the ammo shortage because I had an inside source about that stuff? Just over here doing journalist stuff.
It's Journalist Jesse.
Walt Disney Company to begin second wave of layoffs, cutting thousands of jobs, several thousand jobs, it says. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be sad. Blinken and his wife emailed frequently with Hunter Biden, raising questions about role in the laptop cover story. Why do we do this stuff? Raising questions about the role. We know what the role was. The role of Antony Blinken. I keep calling him Anthony because Antony's a stupid name. The role of Antony. It's Antony, Chris. I know, it's weird. The role of Antony Blinken in the Hunter Biden laptop stuff was to gather the necessary parts of the system, the foreign intelligence agents, and have them write a letter to cover for Hunter Biden so Joe Biden could get elected president and proceed to screw everything up. It's not complicated. We don't have to sit and hand-wring about it. I wonder what his role was. I only wish I knew what his involvement was. His involvement was corruption. That's what a broken late-stage republic does. You don't break. You stick around because we're going to be back here tomorrow to have more fun, all right? That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.